Now we're talking about the charismatic lens, and we began by talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, that's step one. When you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, as of last week, we talked about the receiving of tongues as a prayer language, as a supernatural ability to pray in a language you never learned before. Everybody say, that's step two. Step three is where you begin to function in the gifts of the Spirit according to the direction of the Holy Spirit. And they're available for all of His people. So say it with me. Step one, get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Step two, use your prayer language. Speak in tongues. Step three, operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You say, we believe these things are for today. You better believe we believe they're for today and they're for you. Now, I said that just so we have a common understanding and function here as a church that we're a word church, but we're also a Holy Ghost church. And make no apology for the present day ministry of the Holy Spirit. You should not be ashamed of Him in any aspect of your life. So I want you to turn with me over to 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm not going to discuss these gifts individually today in detail, but I want to just set this up in terms of Paul's teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. And understand this, that we don't have the letter that was written to the Apostle Paul, but we do have the letter that was written from the Apostle Paul. So we know that he was delegating, he was answering some questions about spiritual gifts. And he said in verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. He's not saying, I don't want you to be stupid. He's saying, I don't want you to be without knowledge concerning the gifts of the Spirit. Now, we're not just talking about head knowledge. Can I have an amen? And we're not just talking about the ability to list all the gifts of the Spirit. We're talking about a working knowledge of the gifts of the Spirit where you actually participate in that operation yourself. He goes on to say, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Can I have a good amen?
Amen.
There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. Now listen carefully. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Say, everybody can participate. For the profit of all. Say, they're the benefit of us all. For to one is given the word of wisdom to the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge, to the same Spirit, to another faith, by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings, by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Is there anybody here that believes that?
Yes.
The day I got born again, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I read this in my Bible given to me at Lutheran Church when I was 6 years old, and I was stunned this was in the Bible. And I still get excited about the fact that it's in the Bible.
Yeah.
The operation of the Spirit of God is real and it's for today. And we've never needed His gifts more than we need right now.
Amen.
And yet when you look at scriptures like John 14, 12, Jesus made this plain. And greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. The reason for the fact you can say greater works, greater in quality and quantity, is that He was going to the Father and the Spirit would be sent, and the Spirit being outpoured across the body of Christ would cause not just one person to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, but millions to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. You are part of a worldwide phenomenon, church, and you should desire to be used by the Spirit of God in the gifts of the Spirit. And that's how He does greater works. We understand from Luke chapter 4 that Jesus was anointed to preach and then get results of what He preached. He took the scroll from Isaiah and He said these words. And when He opened up the book, He found the place where it was written. This in Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord or the year of the Lord's favor. What is on Him is on you today.
That's right.
and able to do the same thing. Preach the promises of the anointing and then see those things come to pass. Look at somebody and smile and say, the same Holy Spirit that was on the life of Jesus is on your life now. You say, well, then where are all the results? Where are all the manifestations? I'm getting to that. But fundamentally, there's not a special spirit on Jesus and a different spirit on you. There is one Holy Ghost. And just like the Father, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. To understand the dynamic, we have to understand that everything Jesus did, He did after His self-kenosis or self-emptying. He did not operate in His power of deity. He operated through the power of the Holy Spirit as a model for you and as a model for me. If He did it through His deity and His authority only, then you and I would not have a model or an example to follow. But He taught us that we function in a certain way, that what we see, like He said, and very truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can do only what He sees His Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. In other words, what He saw, He did. What He saw the Father doing, that's what He did. And you know what? What we see Jesus doing, that's what we should do. Amen. But not just what He did, but what He said. Say it with me, I see and do, I hear and say. He said, for I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. John 12:49. In other words, whatever He saw the Father doing, that's what He was supposed to do. Whatever He heard the Father saying, that's what He was supposed to say. And you and I have that same mandate today. In other words, you and I say a lot of things we shouldn't say. And do a lot of things we shouldn't do. But in Jesus, you see a reflection of the Father. And for us, you see an example to operate in the things of the Spirit. If you're baptized in the Holy Ghost today, there's no reason God can't use you in any or all of these gifts of the Spirit. And you should thank God for that. Because we need in our society more healings, not less. We need more miracles, not less. We need more faith, not less. And what happens is you begin to see God use you and operate through you. Amazing things happen. And we'll talk about the benefits of the people of God doing so. But understand this, that this is how Jesus operated. And you and I are called to do the same thing. Turn over to Mark 2 and you will see an example of Him operating in the gifts of the Spirit. Mark 2. In verse 1, and again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house, and immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, nor even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Say that he preached the word. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic man who was carried by four men, and when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And so when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. How many know that's the most important thing in this encounter? And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. In other words, they weren't even saying these things out loud. Why? Listen to what he said. Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Well, watch this. But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, so you have first of all a word of knowledge, a piece of the mind of God revealed to you, and it's up to you to seek God to know what to do with that knowledge. But you did not know this in the natural. And it's not about mind reading, it's about a deposit of the Spirit of God, of a reality of a truth deposited into his heart at that moment. And he says this, why does this man speak blasphemies? Jesus said, why do you reason about these things in your heart? There's the word of knowledge, which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or say, arise, take up your bed and walk. That's a word of wisdom, not just a piece of knowledge, but something that is actionable. God will tell you about things, and he will tell you about certain things that you're supposed to do or say. Now watch this. Look at somebody say, this is getting good. And guess what? This is the way it's supposed to be today. In the ministry of Jesus, by example, the word of knowledge. In the ministry of Jesus, by example, the word of wisdom. that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he took up the bed, went out of the presence of them all, so that they were amazed and glorified God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. Imagine not. Watch this. He received what was going on in their hearts, word of knowledge. He knew what to do as far as saying and replying to them, word of wisdom. And he raised that man up from his bed of affliction, gifts of healing. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
That's how he operated in the earth. And that's how he wants his people to operate as well. This is the wisdom of Paul's teaching regarding the gifts of the Spirit. There's not a person in here that God can't use in the word of knowledge. I said there's not a person in here. There's not a person in here God can't use with the word of wisdom. There's not a person in here God cannot use to get somebody else healed. And y'all are responding to me like right now, a bunch of Baptists and Church of Christ people. So let's try this again. There's not a person in here that God can't use to raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out devils. Amen. Freely you receive, freely you give. Glory to God. If anybody ought to stir themselves up, it's the rank of the Spirit-filled believer, regardless of what denomination you came from. And just about every denomination is represented in this church. Every background you can imagine. Amen. Some of y'all got a heathen background. We love you too, bless God. Amen. This is his example. We have the word of knowledge here. We see the word of wisdom and the gift of healing. And these same gifts are available to the church today. I really didn't intend to do this until the Lord made it clear to me that I was supposed to. But there is an overarching reason why we are not seeing the level of the manifestational gifts of the Holy Spirit, not just in a few lives, a few token people given a tongue, an interpretation, or a prophecy, but a massive outpouring, a flowing of these gifts in our lives, all of us as people of God. There is a reason for that. And how many are willing to let the Holy Ghost talk to you today? How many like to have that cork unstopped in your life where you flow? The gifts are called manifestational gifts because there is a supernatural uncovering, a revealing, a demonstration. Manifestation means to reveal what we do not know, what we cannot do on our own, and what we can't possibly know or operate in. And we know, we do, and we proclaim because of the manifestation of the Spirit of God. The gifts are how God's super is added to our natural. You are not just mere people.
No, we're not.
You are called to live a supernatural life.
Amen.
And the way that he does that is through the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the ability to build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and operating in the gifts of the Spirit. And every believer that loves God should want this, desire this, and be used of God in this.
Amen.
And if there's no want to there, then you got more work than others to do. And while your appetite in these last days, when he could split the sky any moment, your appetite is not there for spiritual things. Your appetite for the things of the Spirit ought to be soaring in these last days. It is not entirely a congregational issue. We have people that have been born again, called to preach, baptized in the Holy Spirit, standing in pulpits all over the country who won't even talk about these things because they're embarrassed over them. They somehow think it will drive people away. I've never seen the Holy Ghost do anything but do good to people in my entire ministry ever. That is nothing more than a humanistic approach to ministry. More interested in a seat being filled than that person being filled with the Holy Ghost. More interested in numbers than solid, true discipleship in their life. What I'm saying is you get what you preach, and when Spirit-filled preachers won't preach it, then we're really in trouble. We're not going to have that in this church. I said, we're not going to have that in this church. We are going to let the Holy Ghost do what he wants to do.
Yes.
And not just in a church service, but wherever you happen to be, It's primarily where the gifts are in operation. So we have to take some time to instruct and teach and inspire and encourage and then challenge you to go out there and be used of God. You have access to supernatural power every day of your life because you're called to live a supernatural life. And you should hunger and thirst and desire to be a part of that. See, we sometimes think about Ephesians 4. We think about the pastors and the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers. You know, we get together and we equip people in the work of the saints and then give them a ministry that can teach. They can do an outreach, work with the kids, work with youth, play an instrument, sweep the floor. Isn't that great? The kind of equipping the apostle Paul is looking for is that anybody in this room is able to function in the gifts of the Spirit at any time. You're not equipped until you're doing that. Amen. And we cannot have surrogates for the gifts of the Spirit. I don't need to do it. Barb will do it. Sharon will do it. Wilma will do it. Thank y'all for standing in the gap. And some of y'all are old enough in the things of God not to be ignoring the promptings of the Holy Ghost in your life. But start doing what he tells you to do. Everybody say, thank God.
Thank God.
Say, thank God, for the Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
Faith comes by hearing. And if these things aren't taught and preached, then guess what? I'll have friends in the ministry say, well, we do this in Sunday school or small groups, but we don't teach these things and allow these things in the greater body of Christ and the overall church meetings. Well, the early church did. Early church didn't care about how offensive the things of the Spirit might be to people. And yes, they are offensive to certain people. And yes, certain people make fun of them. They said they were drunk with wine. I mean, the things that you are called as Spirit-filled people, crazy, emotional, out of touch, uneducated, lacking intellectual ability. You're a cult. You're a fanatic.
Yeah, I'm a fanatic.
Amen. I agree. You are a fanatic, brother. We all agree with you. He's sure. But none of these things should move you from your desire for the Spirit-filled life. Amen. Everywhere you go, people are hurting. Everywhere you go, there is an answer through one or more of the gifts of the Spirit to deal with what troubles their heart and their head, their home, amen, their body, whatever's going on, there is an answer there. Supernatural. Say supernatural knowledge, supernatural wisdom, supernatural healing power, supernatural working of miracles. My heart is that God would raise up 40, 50. You have to go around this town doing miracles all throughout the week, and the world and the devil doesn't know what to do with it in Jesus' name. Well, that can't possibly be. That's exactly the model of the New Testament church, where a man like Philip gets saved, born again, Spirit-filled. He is serving tables. The next thing you know, he's the apex leader in the Samaritan revival, and everything is transformed because of his ministry. Look at somebody in spine and say, you know, I believe Pastor Art's really talking to you today. He is talking to you. Amen. Say, we're not equipped until and unless we personally are operating in the gifts of the Spirit. Now, he gives severally as he wills, but there ought to be something going on in our lives. Yes, amen. Glory to God. I need to impress upon you the connection between the gifts of the Spirit and walking in love. I want you to see this in 1 Corinthians 13. When you're there, say, I'm there. When you've turned your page and you've scrolled, so now I'll show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of angels and men and have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Turn to somebody and say they're just making noise. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to flames but have not love, I gain nothing. You know what the Bible says? Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs, it keeps no record of wrongs, it keeps no record of wrongs. 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 Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish ways behind me. Now we see, but a poor reflection is in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. And I know in part now, and then I shall be fully known, even as I am known. And these three remain. Shout them out, faith. Hope, love. And the greatest of these, have you ever been taught that before? Shout that out with all your heart. The greatest of these is love. The Bible actually defines what love looks like. It's not a coincidence that the teaching about love as the greatest is directly in the context of spiritual gifts. There is no accident here. That whatever we do in terms of supernatural life, the Spirit-filled life, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, the nine manifestational gifts of the Spirit, it must be done in love. Without love, there is manifestation, but there's no corresponding power. How many know God intended that there would be power released through these gifts? Without love, we have the appearance of a gift, but one that is sterilized of impact. Every single one of the nine have a power and a force when released in faith and done so in love and in compassion. Every single one of them. Don't be partial to any of them other than when Paul says, you know what? Believe and pray that you should prophesy because of its edifying ability. But all of them are important or they wouldn't be there. Can I have an amen? Amen. Without love, you get the shell, but not the substance and the intended effect of the gift. So a force, a power is released, but it produces a positive result or fruit in the people that actually receive the gift. Amen. Say it again, love keeps no record of wrongs. You're starting to get a hint here that the problem in the Pentecostal Charismatic Church is not a spiritual gifts problem. Without love, motivated by love, manifested in love, marked by forgiveness, the Spirit cannot use us. There is an epidemic of unforgiveness among believers, and it's the greatest reason why we don't see the level of manifestation that in our hearts we want to see. The worst thing that happened to the church is not COVID church. It's unforgiveness. I was 17 years old. My sister came home one December and just on fire for God. I mean, you've met her. She's preached her on many occasions and she's the real deal. I can tell you that. Genuinely, authentically called of God to do what she's doing. And I just was just completely, you know, taken back by the transformation and been in church all my life, like many of you had, but knew so very little about Jesus. And I remember sitting on my bed asking her to sit down. And I can't believe that at 17 years old, this was my question. But my question is, would you teach me something about Jesus? How can you go 17 years and not know anything about Jesus? Well, if you know anything about my sister, you know that she is perfectly willing to sit down and tell me anything and everything. She knew. Her seeds were being planted right then and there. By the time summer came, I was about to graduate from high school, and she handed me Brother Osteen's book, Receive Ye the Holy Ghost. Many of you have been given that same book through the years. And I read that little booklet, read it, looked up the scriptures, listened to the stories, you know, prayed over it. And then she said to me, would you like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit yourself? And I said, yes, I would. I want everything that God has for me, making a decision to serve Him, to give my life to Him. I want that power that goes with it that He's talking about in that book. I want everything He has. And she laid hands on me, and absolutely nothing happened. I mean, it was like, you know, dead as a doornail. Nothing happened. I wasn't looking for bells and whistles and some weird experience. I was looking for what Brother Osteen had described in that book. And then filling, amen, and overflowing in and upon, manifested by the ability to speak in a language I never learned. I understood what he was saying there. I understood the principle. One of the illustrations he used to use is, you know, you take a bottle and you put a cork on it and you throw it in the ocean. That little bottle says, I'm in the ocean, I'm in the ocean, I'm in the ocean. Look at somebody say, I'm in the ocean. And all of a sudden the cork pops out. And the water starts bubbling into the bottle. And the little bottle says, the ocean's in me, the ocean's in me, blah, 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 blah. I understood. I understood John 7, when out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Aren't you glad that the ocean was in you too? And she looked at me and she pointed that skinny little bony finger at me. Some of you have had that same finger too. Some of you are related to Amy, I guess. And she pointed that finger at me and she said, are you bitter towards the Lord about anything? And I mean, instantly, tears began to well up in my eyes. And right then and there, I had to confess that there are some things that I had gone through I didn't understand. And some things to this day, I don't understand. It's been all these years later. But I had to admit that I was walking in bitterness and unforgiveness. And when I repented of that, she laid her hands back on me. And the power of God hit me. She said, I sound like a little Japanese kid gone to town. But I want you to understand something. It wasn't about God's will. It wasn't about somehow these things aren't for today. It was all about the condition of my heart. And I'm telling you just as plainly as I can tell you, you can't advance in spiritual gifts with unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart. You are DOA when it comes to the supernatural in your life. And I can't think of any person who is worth you losing the supernatural over what they did or said or didn't say or didn't do. My first lesson in the Holy Ghost was bitterness stops the flow. I'll never forget it. And even when I'm tempted today, I remember I am not going down that path. I am not going to lose what God has for me. I'm not going to become a wimpy preacher, amen, and a wimpy Christian, amen, because I stopped the flow of the power of God over what somebody did or said. And believe you me, I've had plenty of opportunities. And so have you. Stopped it dead. No, I want to be used of God. Like Kelly was telling me about the story Brother Savelle told. And he said he met this man from Hungary during the communist rule before the Iron Curtain fell. And he went over into Sweden where Brother Jerry was actually preaching. And he actually said, you know, can you help us out with some faith materials? This man had been in jail for the third time and got out. Because that's how they treated people who preached the gospel under a communist flag. And we have dodo young people today thinking that communism is just great. Yeah, until they cut out your tongue and get rid of all of your values. It's wicked, it's demonic, is what it is. And so, you know, he was telling this story that I couldn't announce where we're going to meet after I got out of jail because they'll just come and arrest me again. So here's what he did. He told his two closest associates in that church, tell everyone to pray in the Holy Ghost and God will show them where we're going to meet. How many know most communists don't have the gift of the word of knowledge? And when he showed up, the house was full of people who heard directly from the Holy Ghost. And you think about that. How often do you hear stories like that going on in our own country? Not very often. You want to know why? Shout it out. Bitterness stops the flow. You're never going to mix the ministry of the Holy Spirit with an unforgiving heart and get a good result out of it. Not going to happen. Amen. How many of y'all want the gifts? You want the power more than you want to hold on to some grudge or some unforgiveness? Apparently, I'm in the right church today, Tim. Let me ask again. How many would rather have the gifts and the power than to hold a grudge or be bitter or unforgiving? I know firsthand. Well, go ahead and give the Lord a hand clap. Don't patty cake, just go ahead and bless Him. Praise Him. I know firsthand the choice to stay in unforgiveness and bitterness is a decision to live a natural life when you are destined to live a supernatural life. All week long, God's been talking to me about this. There are a lot of people that quote this, a lot of people who have, especially in mental health and emotional health, you know, fields. Most people attribute this back to Freud. But it rings amazingly consistent with revelation of Scripture. He said, you are mentally healthy to the degree to which you can freely forgive and forget grievances against you. The tendency to blame others and hold grudges is a childlike pathological tendency possessed by all people who are mentally ill. Are you mentally ill today? Scripture tells us that we're to flee certain desires and ways of being because it does damage or wars against our soul. It's perfectly scriptural to understand that there's no way for you to hold on to grudges and bitterness and be mentally sound. There are a lot of kookadoos in the body of Christ. And it's because of the refusal to do what 1 Corinthians says, make and take no record of wrongs. To spread the root of bitterness, Scripture tells us that bitterness springs up and defiles many. To spread the root of bitterness is to spread mental illness. Let the Lord minister to you. It's not just a grudge, it's a mental illness. It's not just bitterness, it's mental illness. Thank God He heals all things well. I said, thank God He heals all things well. Now, you and I know there's a whole lot more consequences than just not the ability to operate in the Spirit of God. But given what Paul has taught about this, if we want to be free-flowing, we can't afford even a moment in bitterness. And I have the utmost respect for people that are called as professional counselors. God has given them that assignment. There are a lot of people that are hurting. And quite frankly, You know, just because you're a pastor doesn't mean you should counsel every kind of thing. They're needed in the body of Christ. But I am telling you that someone going to a counselor for 10, 15, 20 years and they're still not whole, that's a cash cow. That's not a counselor. If they never led them to forgiveness, they weren't doing their job. Now, you would expect that from pastors. Can I have an amen? Amen. To encourage you to come to a place of forgiveness. But there's an entire school of thought out there right now that all they want to do is talk and rehearse and hash it out and continue to do it. And you have to wonder, do you really care about the people you're counseling? If you did, you would want them to get whole, and they can't get whole if they won't forgive. You're counseling people and keeping them mentally ill. Why? Say it. Bitterness is mental illness. It's not just a little problem. Unforgiveness is mental illness. The difference between life achievement and failure comes down to the ability to forgive. Some people leave a trail of bitterness all their days. There's a man in the Bible named Joseph that left a trail of forgiveness all of his days. How many know God had a great destiny for him? And how many are glad he navigated it well? Watch this. His brothers were jealous of him. Couldn't stand the favor that was on his life from his father as well as God himself. And how did they treat him? Death threats, abandonment, and sold him to Ishmaelite slave traders. 20 pieces of $10 value silver. $200 is what they got for selling their own brother into slavery. But you know, if he hadn't forgiven, he could not have made it to the next step in his life. So there he is with a bunch of slave traders being treated like scum. You know, he had to forgive those slave traders if he was going to advance into the perfect plan of God. And that's exactly what he did. He sold into Potiphar's house, for everything he puts his hand to is blessed, and Potiphar is blessed as a result of it. But what happens is, Potiphar's wife makes a play for him, which he honorably rejects. He's accused of sexual assault, and he has to forgive that if he wants to move forward in the plan of God. Watch this. You would think that after God blessed Potiphar's house like that, he might listen to a little bit of reason. But no. Potiphar sided, of course, with his wife, and this man is thrown in jail for doing nothing but being a blessing to that man's household. But guess what? Just like Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife, he had to forgive Potiphar of that injustice. So now he's in jail. He's in there with the baker and the cupbearer. Have me know, you had to do something pretty bad if you're the baker and the cupbearer that end up in jail. Pharaoh had him in there, and these individuals have dreams, and Joseph has the answers, and basically says the baker is going to have his head lopped off, and he's going to be stuck on a pole, and the cupbearer is going to be restored. And he told the cupbearer, when you are restored back to Pharaoh, make sure you remember me. Tell him about me so I can get out of here. What happened? Cupbearer didn't care, didn't do anything. He had to forgive the cupbearer. When Pharaoh was under the gun and needed the wisdom concerning the things that troubled his heart, that's when he remembered there's a man in jail who has the ability. He has spiritual gifts. He can not only tell dreams, he can discern the dreams. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge are involved in this. There are different applications of what those particular gifts do. But he operated in gifts by the Holy Spirit, not to, you know, really different from what we do today. And he was able to explain exactly what was going on, what was coming, and what Pharaoh needed to do. And because of that, he was brought out of jail, and then he was put in charge of the plan, and he was made the second most powerful ruler in all of Egypt, next to Pharaoh. Now here's the point, church. You can either take the palace or the puke, but you can't take both.
Amen.
You can't. And what I'm telling you is, he has all these opportunities. His brothers, the pit, the slave traders, Potiphar's wife, Potiphar's injustice, the cupbearer forgetting him. And if he had, he would not have had the supernatural ability to give that wisdom to Pharaoh at the right time. It can be a matter of life and death for you and me, and victory and defeat for our families, for our churches, for our nation. We simply can't afford to stay in bitterness. Are you here today? How many of you will take the palace over the puke?
Amen.
Let me see your hand. You'll take the palace over the puke. God's no respecter of persons. He can do in you similar things he did in Joseph's life, but you cannot take bitterness with you. You will never make it. You'll get stuck in the pit, or on the trail, or in Potiphar's house, or get stuck in jail, but you will not make it to that place where your gifts can make room for you and great things can happen. It was Maya Angelou that said, forgiveness is the greatest gift you can give yourself.
Yeah.
You're the one that's set free when you do it.
Yeah.
Are you here today?
Yeah.
Forgiveness is actually your superpower. Wow. Say it with me. If I'm bitter, unforgiving, holding a grudge, I'm mentally ill. Pastor, do you have a prescription for my mental illness? It's called forgiveness. And it is not a skill, it's a decision. It's a decision to be sound. To let people go for your own welfare so you can flow in these things like God wants you to flow. Amen. Because I know in my heart there's some Josephs in this room.
Amen.
There are some mighty men and women of God in this room. And if you just take a little trip down memory lane, not to get yourself bitter again, you will realize that even as a Christian, you've had so many opportunities. Instead of being victorious, you become mentally ill and stuck. But aren't you glad you can shake it off?
Yes.
You can choose to forgive. Say it, I choose
to forgive.
Say it, I choose
to forgive.
Bitterness stopped me from receiving the baptism, and bitterness will stop you from receiving the baptism or the gifts or the flow of your prayer language. You simply can't afford to be bitter or unforgiving. And that does not mean that you have to be perfect when you come to God. But for some reason, the condition of the heart does block you from activity in the Spirit. I knew nothing when God taught me that. I knew nothing of the Word when God taught me that. And today it's just as true as it was then. It is true that these things of the heart block us from God's best. And I hear even in this room today, you don't know what I've been through. The abuse, the trauma I've been through. You don't understand what Joseph went through. We're dealing today in the body of Christ with people who can have a very low tolerance for things that are negative in their life. Thank God Jesus never got bitter. Could he have?
Yeah.
Just in the natural, the rejection, the abuse, the beatings, the crucifixion, the abandonment he must have felt? Sure. But if he had gotten bitter, you and I would be in trouble right now. Did you know that there are other people depending on you not to be bitter? There are other people that need you to be mentally sound. Amen? So today we're going to shake off the crazies in this church. Go ahead. Shake off the crazies. Come on, stand on your feet and give the Lord a hand clap and thank Him. Nothing that we can go through justifies us rejecting the admonition. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Stand in command. So I want you to bow your heads for a moment. How many with a raised hand say you are thirsty for all that God has for you? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. You can put your hands down. How many say that there are times when you just felt like the supernatural's been blocked in your life? Just lift your head up high. Lord knows most of us have been there. And you put your hands down. Now, how many would say that you felt like the supernatural has been blocked in your life? You can admit that there's probably some things that are causing that. Matters of the heart. Lift your hand up high if that's you. You feel that that's the case? See, pastors and counselors and teachers of the Word should bring you to wholeness in your mind, your body, your spirit, your emotions, in every way. The only way to do that is the challenge to forgive what man might even call unforgivable. You raised your hand today. I want you just to slip out of your seats. I want you to come. And you're coming to something. You're not just coming, but you're coming to a place of soundness. And I want you all to hear me very clearly. This never justifies the hurt you went through. It does not say, well, you know, I guess they just don't care about us. No, it doesn't justify anything you've gone through. It's just simply telling you there is a place of healing in Him that only comes by saying to yourself, it's not worth my soundness. Because you hear that knee-jerk a lot out there in the world. But you tell me to forgive. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what's going on. So therefore, how dare you? You're making light of what I've been through. Nobody's making light of anything you've been through. What you've been through is what you've been through. But I am telling you this, it's time to go through a place of soundness in your life, a place of wholeness in your life, where whatever is blocking you from that move of the Holy Ghost in your life, once and for all, you just let it go. You let God minister to you. You let Him minister to you. Bless the Lord. All over the building, just begin to bless the Lord with your mouth. Just bless Him. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. We praise You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Bitterness, unforgiveness, grudges have a consequence. That consequence is illness in your mind, limitations in your spiritual life, emotions that are out of control. And the remedy is the decision, the quality decision to forgive, release, and let go. If you're here in this altar to do that, just lift your hands right now. You're just signifying that I'm opening up my hand and my heart to release these things. And you should be excited. You should be thrilled because you're about to be hit with the healing power of Jesus Christ in a very important part of your life, in your mental faculties. Expect great peace. Expect great victory. Joy to come back to you. All over this building, I say in Jesus' name, I recognize we're all tempted when we get hurt, when we go through a trauma or abuse. We're tempted to get bitter, to live that way. I understand there's nothing good, wholesome, or healing that will ever come from that response. I'm asking you today, Lord, as I confess my grudges, my bitterness, my unforgiveness. Lord, I repent of that. That is inconsistent with the reality and the fact that you forgave me of all of my sins. If anybody should be bitter, it would be you after what we have done. But Lord, you expect me to forgive as I have been forgiven. So I stand here today and I confess that bitterness, that grudge, that unforgiveness. I recognize it has stopped up the flow of the Spirit in my life. I'm done with it. I recognize I am not as powerful as He wants me to be. I realize I'm not flowing like I could, like I should. So Lord, I recognize there's a connection between grudges, unforgiveness, bitterness, and the stopping up of the flow of the Holy Ghost in my life. As a Spirit-filled believer, that's not acceptable. In these last days, that's not acceptable. I ask you today, boldly, forgive me, cleanse me, restore me. I say with my mouth, I forgive every person throughout my life who's ever done anything, said anything, implied anything, didn't say the right thing, didn't do the right thing. I forgive them. Shout it out. I forgive them in Jesus' name. I forgive my parents. I forgive others. I forgive myself. And I release every person who's ever sinned against me in my entire life. I'm asking, Father, right now for a supernatural healing in my mind, in my emotions, in my life. I'm going from mental illness to soundness for the first time in a very long time. I thank you right now. The peace is restored. The joy is restored. The victory is restored. The purpose is restored. The destiny is restored. The gifts are restored. The power is restored. Thank you, my Father, for healing me from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Now come on, thank Him for it. Thank Him for it. Thank Him for it. Come on, church, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Come on, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Behold, Be sound. Be well. Be whole. Be sound. Be well. Smile at somebody next to you and say, I'm not mentally ill no more. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now let's celebrate with this song. Amen. Thank you, Lord.